So what I want to talk about is the mitzvah or the halacha of eged. I'll tell you a joke first. I'll see if I remember the joke. So there's once a guy, and he was he went to the Arba Minim Shokan Eretz Yisrael, and he sees this incredibly big lulav, like 8 feet, 10 feet tall, and he's really excited, this gigantic lulav. So he buys it, and he's going to go. He gets a cab to get back to yeshiva, and so he goes to the cab driver, and the cab driver sees his giant lulav, and he says to him, lulav tzarich eged. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Eged is in the bus company. But we're going to talk about the halacha of lulav tzarich eged, which is the halacha that you have to, or we'll see if you actually do have to, bind the species together. In other words, do you need to hold them together? Do you not need to hold them together? So let's take a look at the first source. It's a Gemara in Masechta Sukkah. D'tanya, lulav bein agud bein she'eino agud kasher. So according to Tanakama, lulav is kasher whether you are ma'agated, whether it's tied together or not. Rav Yehuda Omer, agud kasher, she'eino agud pasul. Rav Yehuda disagrees. He says that you have to be ma'agated. You have to tie it together. My time to Rav Yehuda, Yalof lakicha lakicha me'agudas ezov. K'siv hacha l'kachtem lachem b'yom ha'rishon. V'k'siv hasam l'kachtem agudas ezov. Ma lahalan aguda. There the pasuk explicitly says it's an aguda. It's tied together. Afkan aguda. So Reb Yehuda says you have to be ma'agid them. You have to bind them together based off of gzeira shava. Rabban unless lahu lakicha lakicha. They don't hold that gzeira shava. So who is the author of the following brisa? The brisa says, it's a mitzvah to be ma'agedet. Vimlo agdo kasher, and if you're not ma'agedet, still kasher. Mani, I Reb Yehuda, ki lo agdo am I kasher? Can't be Reb Yehuda, because Reb Yehuda seems to assume it's ma'agev. In other words, it's possible if you're not ma'agedet. I Rabbanan, my mitzvah kavet. And if it's the Rabbanan, so what's the advantage? Why is it even a mitzvah? So it's the sheet of the Rabbanan, that lo tzarech eged, but still there is a maila of being ma'agedet. So the question is, what's the maila? Why is it a mitzvah to be ma'agedet? And we paskin like the Chachamim, we paskin that you don't need to be ma'agedet, but there's a maila to be ma'agedet. And so the question is why? Seems like it's a type of hiddur mitzvah, but the question is, what is the nature of this hiddur mitzvah? Is it really more beautiful? Let's also try to understand the nekudas hamachlokas. So Reb Yehuda's understanding that you have to be ma'agedet seems to be that it has to be one unit. When it says ulkachtem lachem b'yom harishon priyetz hadar kapost marim v'nafa itzavos v'arvei nachal, it means as a unit. So they have to be bound together. It's arba minim that are in some way one. So the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim seem to assume it's okay if they stand alone. So once it's kosher, if they stand alone, why is it more beautiful that they be bound together? And, it's good enough to use a rubber band. So is that really more beautiful? I take a rubber band and I wrap it around my hadas and my ravos, and now all of a sudden it's more beautiful. Where's the hiddur? And I would even add that, when it comes to other forms of, let's say when we think of hiddur mitzvah and sukkahs, so maybe we think of decorating our sukkah. So everybody decorates it the way they like. Here, it's interesting that the Chachamim were kovei a particular type of beauty. And why is that? Generally speaking, with respect to hiddur mitzvah, we don't find such a thing.
It's just talking about wrapping around the lulav. It's not talking about wrapping the lulav with the hadas and the ravos.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about wrapping the lulav, being ma'age, joining, unifying the lulav, the hadas and the ravos. And the question is, Why is there more beautiful? In other words, if you learn like Rabbi Yehuda, fine, that's the Gzeirah Sarkasov, it's the Gzeirah Shava. The mitzvah is that these four species, we'll talk about how the astro plays a role in there in a minute, but it's a mitzvah to be ma'aged the minim. Once it's not, once we see them as four units, you don't need to do them together. You might not even need to pick them up at the same time. So why is this considered hit or miss? What's the point? What's the goal? All right, so that's Arkasha. Arkasha really is, you know, if it's kasher is one, what's the advantage of three, of putting three together or four together? Why is it more beautiful? Why can't we choose how to make it more beautiful? Where does it come from? There's no source. There's no source. There's a Gzeirah Shava for Yehuda, but the Chachamim reject that Gzeirah Shava. So I thought perhaps we could answer this question based off of a very famous medrash. And that's the next source that you have over here, source number two. It's a medrash that we're all familiar with. And let's try to understand it a little more. So the medrash says, Davar Acher creates Hadar, Elu Yisrael, Ma Esrog Zeh, Yesh bo tam, v'yesh bo reyach, kach Yisrael, yesh bahem, b'nei adam, sheyesh bahem Torah, v'yesh bahem ma'asim tovim. So the Medrash talks about how there are four different types of Jews. You have the person who resembles the Esrog, he has Torah and ma'asim tovim. And then we have kapos tumarim, ha'elu Yisrael, ma Torah zu, Yesh bo tam ve'ein bo reyach. Kach, im Yisrael, yesh bahem, sheyesh bahem Torah, ve'ein bahem ma'asim tovim. So the kapos tamarim, that's the lulav, it has peros, but it has, meaning to say, the date palm produces fruits, doesn't have a particularly special smell. So that's like someone who has Torah, ve'ein bahem ma'asim tovim. Banaf etzavos, Eli Yisrael ma'adas yesh bo reach ve'en bo tam. Kach Yisrael yesh ben sheyesh bahem ma'asim tovim ve'en bahem Torah. Some Jews, they excel in chesed, ma'asim tovim, but they don't have Torah. And that's like the hadasim that smell beautiful and they lack any fruit, any edible fruit. Vav einachal Eli Yisrael ma'arava zu ein ba tam ve'en bo reach. Kach Hem Yisrael yesh bahem B'nei Adam, Shein Bahem, Lo Tam, Lo Ma'asim Tovim. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osa Lahem, Lo Avdam Yavshar, El Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yukshiru Kulam, Aguda Achas. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? We have all these types of Jews. Hashem says, how do we solve this? So we, oh, Ilan, good to see you, Chag Sameach. So we tie them together. We make them Aguda Achas. Ve'en Mechapren Elu Al Elu. And in so doing, they atone for each other. Try to explain what that means in a moment. And through doing that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mis'ala. He's elevated. So what's the idea, this Medrash tells us, of being ma'aged the arba minim? By being ma'aged the arba minim, so we unify all the different types of people in Klal Yisrael, and through that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is elevated. So going back to our question was, why is it that there's a hiddur mitzvah, a beautifying of the mitzvah when you bind the species together? The answer is that this is not the standard beautification of the mitzvah. Usually when we beautify our sukkah, so that's a very wonderful thing, but I would say that's an aesthetic hiddur mitzvah. It makes it more beautiful in the aesthetic sense. Here, it's a symbolic hiddur mitzvah. By being ma'aged the minim, we're emphasizing the beauty of the unity of Klal Yisrael, the unity of all the different types of people, the unity, the celebration of the diversity in Klal Yisrael, the different types of people who excel at different things, and that we all join together. So it's a symbolic hiddur mitzvah. So that's the idea. That's why, so the Chachamim say, you don't have to do it, but you should tie your lulav, your hadassim, your aravos together. So that's I think, clearly what the Medrash is answering. That's the hiddur. But we have a different question now, sort of an obvious question, which is, why is the esrog not bound together? In other words, according to the theory that we just suggested, so it's almost like, I would say, an elitist mentality. You know, everybody is together except for the tzaddik Talmud Chacham. He's off on the side. So why aren't we ma'agid him? But the truth is that if we take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, we'll see something interesting. This is a source number 3. I don't know if, Ilan, are you able to get the source sheets from the chat?
Yeah, Ezra just texted me. He's going to send it to me. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, so, I'm just looking for it in my downloads. I'm going to send it to the group again.
Okay, so source 3 is the Shulchan Aruch. Tzarech lechaber ha'esrog lelulav b'shas na'anu'o ulenanea b'shneim yachad. So actually the halacha is when you shape lulav, you need to put your esrog together with your lulav. Sometimes you'll see people, they'll have their esrog in their left hand and their lulav in their right hand. It'll be like this. They're not. No, the halacha is you have to hold them together. And what's the source for this? So take a look at the Vilna Gaon, source number 4. The Vilna Gaon, the Biur HaGra, always tells you the mekor for every halacha, how it derives from Shas. And even things like the Minhagim or the like. In other words, this isn't a Gemara, so where is it coming from? So look at source 4. This is the Biur HaGra Net Halacha. He writes, Tzarech lechaber v'chulei, k'moshe kasav b'medrash, ma esrog zeh yesh bo tam v'yesh bo reach v'chulei. The Gra is very terse, but what's the Gra saying over here? What's his answer? What's the source for this halacha that you have to hold the lulav together with the esrog when you shake lulav? What's his source? The medrash that we just saw. The idea that when it comes to arba minim, we want everyone to be together because they symbolize the unity and the beauty of the diversity of Klal Yisrael. So Yudavka can't leave the esrog out. Now, why isn't it actually tied? I don't know. I suppose that probably that's true for technical reasons. In other words, if you, it's not very possible to tie the esrog together. But the point is that we do want to include it, and we do want to, we want to make sure that all the types of Jews are together. You could argue that it's not tied also, maybe because the tzaddik and Talmud Chacham does have to be also a little bit apart, so he's together but apart, or it could just be for technical reasons. So the point is, though, that the reason, I would say, you know, adarabah, the reason why the esrog has to be together with the other three species is to show that the Talmud Chacham isn't supposed to be separate, but he too is supposed to be part of the chibur, part of the unity, everybody bound together. Now, this idea that this celebration of the unity and the idea that we have to include all sorts of people, and even people that have traits that we otherwise perhaps would not value, I think is expressed in a beautiful way in source number 5. It's a Gemara in Krisos, a very famous Gemara. Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida. Kol tainis she'ein ba miposhe Yisrael, eina tainis. Any fast, he's talking about a fast that was done, for example, in the case of a drought, where Klal Yisrael would get together to pray for rain. So any tainis that doesn't include the poshe Yisrael, the sinners, isn't a tainis. The only people that go to shul and daven are the tzaddikim and not the poshe Yisrael. So then that's not a tainis. And listen to this raya. sharechel ben arecha ra. Umina akasav imsa mimane ketores. We know that one of the avodos in the Beis HaMikdash every day was the ketores. The ketores is the incense, and of course incense is supposed to smell good. But one of the ingredients in the incense is the chalbana. The chalbana, galbanum, I'm not sure exactly what it is, to be honest, but apparently it has a very bad smell and yet is included in the ketores. So says the Gemara, you see from here that you have to make sure you include even, as it were, the smelly people, right? Even the Rishayim. So you could say, you could have understood this Gemara as just a concession to, you know, allow the sinners in or something like that, or maybe, you know, Kiruv, who knows what exactly. Take a look at the Ran in Drashos. That's not the way he understands it. The Ran in Drashos is an amazing thing. He says, the Pshat is actually quite the opposite. That even when you have a smell that on its own is bad, but as part of something bigger, as part of the community, it can contribute and in fact even enhance the aroma. It's sort of like singing. You know, I might have a really bad voice. Not everybody is like Ilan and Svi Moshe here with beautiful voices. Some people, when they sing on their own, it sounds nice. When I sing on my own, it's terrible. But when you have a bunch of terrible people, not terrible people, sorry, people with terrible voices, with also maybe some good voices mixed in, and they're singing together in unity, it sounds really great. Even though on their own, their voice maybe isn't so good. And they contribute. It's not just that they're swallowed up, but they contribute to the beauty of the music. And likewise, this chalbana on its own smells bad. But as part of the ketores, it smells good. And he gives a number of interesting examples. He says, let's say you have a person who's very stingy, right? And you have, if you've ever been on like a shul board meeting, so let's say you have a shul board meeting, there's a decision that they want to build a new shul. Okay, the shul needs to, it's too small, need a repair, need a new shul. So you'll have one person on the committee who's very grandiose, you know, let's build a gigantic building with stained glass windows and a huge social hall and the like. Okay, very grandiose, and there's something to it, certainly having a beautiful shul. But if you would just have that attitude, you know, you'd never raise enough money. You'd never build your building. Maybe you'd half build the building and then you'd have to stop in the middle because you couldn't pay for it. And then there's that other fellow who's very cheap. It's like, no. You know, let's just do a very basic design. We're going to... And because you have all these different elements, and these might even be elements that on their own we don't appreciate, like being too extravagant or being too stingy. But together, when they're on the same board, they're working together, that's when you're going to end up with a beautiful shul that will actually get built. And he points out that moderation, which is in a sense the goal of midos, the Ramban talks about the moderation. So moderation is achieved when you include all sorts of people, because everybody has their own predilections, their own strengths. And moderation is not, in a sense, you know, the individual has to strive for moderation, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Deos. But it's also true that the community achieves moderation dafka through the inclusion of all sorts of different people. And that's the mashal of the ketores. The idea of the ketores is that by including this diversity, then that's how you're going to achieve shleimus as a community. He gives a mashal from science. His science was a little different than ours, more Sertilian science. But he says when you have a pure element, so it's inherently unstable until it undergoes composition with other elements. And then it can become stable. And likewise, he says the individual is naturally unstable. Humans tend towards the extreme, one way or the other. Most people are temperamentally not balanced in the proper way. They're one extreme or the other. And the there's a shlemus and a stability and a balance that's achieved by including everybody. That's how you achieve the stable balance. And the same thing he says is that's what the Gemara means by tainus. That's why, by the way, when the first thing we say in Yom Kippur is Anu Matirim, right? Malkom Valdas Hakal, Anu Matirim Lespalel Im Ha'Avaryanim. What does it mean we permit the prayer with Avaryanim? So the idea is actually that if there was anybody who was excommunicated, we realize that we need everybody on Yom Kippur. Like we said, a tainus that doesn't have the Poshe Yisrael, the sinners of Yisrael, isn't a tainus. If it's just the tzaddikim who come to shul, then that's not a proper tainus. We need everybody to come. And even if there was someone who was excommunicated, we want everyone when it's Yom Kippur, when it's a tainus. And that's the beauty. And the Kli Yakar goes ahead and he says, and that's the next source over here, source number 6, that's the connection between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, exactly the way we said. Remember, we explained what's the idea of Lulav Tzarech Eged, or the beauty, the Hidur Mitzvah of being Ma'aged, the Arba Minim, of binding the four species together. Where's the beauty in that? The beauty in that is the celebration of diversity, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mis'ala, is elevated when everybody of all types are joined together. So that dafka comes after Yom Kippur. How so? So listen to this Kli Yakar. So on this pasuk, Ulkachtem Lachem, the pasuk says that you shall take the four species. V'achar kach v'yom Kippur mevater l'kulam. Afilu rishayim shenim shalu l'arvei nachal ki az kulam yatsu l'kraso u'mis'anin. What happened on Yom Kippur? Everybody joined together. You know, on Yom Kippur, even people that don't go to shul the rest of the year, they come on Yom Kippur. Everybody davened together, everybody fasted together, and everybody was forgiven together. Valkein, lo yakoin gadol v'shay lavo b'Yom Kippur el kodesh, ki im b'anan haktores, ki bo me'urav hachelbena im samim mane haktores l'tzaref kol poshe yisrael lasosam aguda achas im hatovim kedei shichapu elu aleilu. Ah, so why is it that when the kohen gadol is ready to go into the kodesh hakodashim, what does he bring with him? Only one thing, the Ketores. Why the Ketores of all things? Why doesn't he bring something else? The answer is because the Anan HaKetores is the smoke coming from the incense that emphasizes the inclusion of everybody. The Chelbana along with everybody else. All types of people. You want to enter the Kodesh HaKadashim, you want to achieve atonement for all of Klal Yisrael, you have to come representing all of Klal Yisrael, not just representing, but including all of Klal Yisrael. And that's how the Kohen Gadol enters on Yom Kippur, even with the Chalbana, even with that spice that on its own stinks, because when it's together with everything else, it creates something, it creates a beautiful aroma. Keder Sha'amu B'Medrash Barba Minim, La'avdam I'afshar, that was the Medrash we said before, Eliyasu Aguda Achas, Ve'mechaprim Elu Aleilu. Likewise, on Sukkot, when we celebrate in a sense that victory, that forgiveness, that atonement that we achieved on Yom Kippur, Gufa, because we were all together, because of that Ketores. So how do we celebrate? We celebrate by taking these Arba Minim that represent all the types of people. The person with Torah and Maisim Tovim, the person with Maisim Tovim without Torah, the person with Torah without Maisim Tovim, and the person with neither. And we join together. The beauty, it's like we said before, it's symbolic hiddur. The beauty, the reason why it's mehudur when you bind them together is because of that, what it represents. And therefore, it's dafka right after Yom Kippur that we emphasize this idea. We take together the lulav, the esrog, the hadasim, the aravos. We appreciate that the atonement demands inclusion of everybody, and thus when we celebrate that atonement on Yom Kippur, sorry, on Sukkot, we bind them together. So that's what I thought is the symbolism of the binding of the Arba Minim. That's why it's considered a heder mitzvah to bind the arba minim together. And I thought perhaps having discussed some of the, until now we've been discussing the symbolic aspect of this halacha, this mitzvah, we'll just go through maybe some of the practical halachos. I know tomorrow is our last day to have a chance to be mekayim this mitzvah of arba minim, but perhaps this will give us new appreciation, and we'll make sure to do it right tomorrow. So what are the halachos of binding the arba minim together? So first of all, what have we seen so far? We've seen that we paskin like the chachamim that it's not a chiyuv to bind them, lulav ein tzarich eged, but rather it's a fulfillment of beautifying the mitzvah, this type of symbolic beauty. So you don't have to tie them together, but you should. And moreover, we saw that it's important that when you're shaking the lulav, you put your esrog right next to the other minim, because we want to make sure that all types of Jews are together, the tzaddik with the person without Torah and Ma'asim Tovim. So the Shulchan Aruch, source number 7, writes, V'yachol la'agdan b'min acher. You could be ma'agid them with anything. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you actually have to be ma'agid them with the lulav branch itself. But since we pass on lulav ein tzarich eged, so it doesn't need to be. So, let's say you didn't know how to tie those fancy types of loops, and you could just use a rubber band. Anything would work. A piece of string, that's good enough. We have a custom to use the leaves of the lulav, and you don't have to do that fancy knot. You could do anything, but that's not necessary. It's nice to do it, but really you could use anything to bind them together, even a rubber band. So take a look at source 8. The Mishnah Berurah writes, b'min acher, the les be mishum bal tosif, de kevan, dein chova la'agdo, ha'ilechu be'kai, u'mishum chatzitza nami leka, af shakesher mafsik ben yadu la'alulav, d'chol l'na'oso eno chotzitz, v'afilu im ha'kesher haya b'davar she'eno mino. If you held like Rabbi Yehuda that you need to be ma'agid them, so then if you had something else there, if it's necessary, it would be a problem with bal tosif. Right, if I went out and took arba minim and I said, you know what, I think there should be a fifth min. I'm going to put a rose here, b'taras chova, so that would be bal tosif. But if it's something that's just decoration, it's not bal tosif, and it's also not a chatzitza because it's meant to add to the beauty. If you look, one of the nice things about davening at the Kotel on Sukkot, I haven't been zocha to do that for many, many years, sadly. But you see all the types of Jews with all the different minhagim. You see some people, like we said before, with the 10-foot lulavs and the 10-foot ravos, and you see people, especially if you go to Hoshana Rabbah, and you'll see people with 30 hadasim or the like. So, Sfardim, at least some, they have like scarves and all sorts of other things wrapped up in their lulav. So that's okay. Why? Because since it's lina oso, it's to add to the beauty, even though it's not from the arba minim, it's not a chatzitza, it's not bal tosif. So what about if I don't want to actually tie them together? So an alternative to tying would be to use those holders that they give, the lulav holders that have a section for the lulav and hadas min aravos, because that's also like a knot. That's also tying them together. That does the same thing as tying them. It binds them together. So really, if you have a holder and a loop, which is what most people have, that's redundant because the holder binds them together and the loop binds them together. Now, we're not talking yet about the loops around the lulav itself. That has nothing to do with our discussion. That's because we're talking about being ma'age, the minim, uniting the minim. Again, there's nothing wrong with having the holders plus a loop. Doesn't hurt, but it's not really necessary. So if we take a look at source number 9, it says, This is the Shulchan Aruch mitzvah la'agdam b'kesher gamur. The knot that you are using ideally should be a total knot or a permanent knot. Dahinu, beis k'sharm zel zel. The easiest way to make a permanent knot is going to be two half knots, right? Just to take something, a loop, and then another loop on top of each other. Mishum noy. V'lo agdu mi ba'od yom. So what about if you didn't tie it before Yantif? So the halacha is you're not allowed to make a permanent knot on Yantif. Oh, shuhuter ogdo, agudo. Or you did, but it came undone. E afshar l'agdo b'yantif b'kasher gamor, since you can't tie it again on Yantif because of kosher, el ogdo b'aniva, you could tie a slip knot, like the way you would tie your shoes, and that's what you could do. If you're unable to, or you, let's say you forgot to tie before Yantif, on Yantif you could make a slip knot. Or just wrap it around and tuck it in or something like that, and that would work. Says, now there's a minhag that many people have that in addition to what we've been talking about, which is tying the three species together, either with a loop or with one of those holders, to have three rings on the lulav. And if you look at source number 10, the Taz quotes this minhag, and he writes that this is Keneged Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. We have three loops, Keneged Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. And according to the Taz, the bottom loop, which binds the Hadas and Aravos, counts as one of the three. So you would only need two more. As if you look, some people have two rings on their lulav, and some people have three. According to the Taz, you'd only need two, because the third one, which is what binds the three species together, would be the third. Take a look at the Taz, source 10. V'alkalpanim nera dakesha shalmata dahainu masha kasha kol hagimol minim biyachad. Mishum nai, hu nechshav le'achad, v'yasa l'mala od shnayim im efshala. However, the Elia Rabba says, no, you have three loops, Keneged Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, in addition to the species being bound together. And that's cited here in Mishnah Berurah, source 11. V'Elia Rabba mashma gimel k'sharm b'lulav atzma levad ha-kesher ha-revi'i she'oged ha-gimel minim yachad. As we saw, I was just thinking, I don't know if this is true, but maybe the reason why we think about Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov Dafka in this context is because we were saying that Eged is all about the celebration of the diversity in Kol Yisrael. We were talking about it in the sense of including everybody, but you see a celebration of diversity as well in the Avos, in the sense that all the Avos were really different from each other. There's no one model how to be a great tzaddik. Avram represented Chesed, Yitzchak Vura, Yaakov Tiferes. They're all very different from each other. You know, the way Yitzchak became a tzaddik wasn't just by imitating Avram Avinu. And so I think that's perhaps another reflection of the same idea. Now, even though we put these loops on our lulav, it's important that you be able to shake your lulav such that when you put those loops on, there's still room for the leaves to flap. So therefore, the top loop should be at least a tefach from the top of the lulav. Take a look at the Taz again, source 12. The tamuli, dehatzarach lekaskes ha'alin, you have to shake the leaves, the keshazem akiv akiskos. And this knot, this loop that you've made, can prevent the flapping of the wings. So again, as we said, the way that you do that is by leaving a little bit of room underneath. So Baruch Hashem, we're able to see some of the halachos of Eged, as well as hopefully have a better understanding of why we do it. Any questions?
Why don't we connect the esrog in the to everything else.
So first of all, we saw the halacha is you do need to. In other words, dafka, when you're shaking lulav, you have to put the esrog right next to the other ones. Why don't you tie it?
Yeah.
So I think there's two answers that I could think of. Number one could just be technical. Esrog doesn't really lend itself to being tied.
It's fragile.
It's fragile. It could drop. It's not long like the other ones are. It's wide. It's round. That's probably the pashtus. You could consider saying, in light of our theory, that even though the tzaddik has to be together with everybody else, he also has to, you know, be apart at times. But I don't know if you have to say that. Could just be because of the technical reason. Good question.
Rabbi, also yeah. One question. One question yeah. I had. good. Thank you for saying this. I was really interested in the class. I was actually wondering about this. Why do we we start with the etrog being with the pitzim facing down, and only after we say the bracha on the alitzilat lulav, then we flip it upside down?
Yeah, that's a good question. The answer is that there is a principle in Birkos HaMitzvah that you're supposed to make the bracha before the performance of the mitzvah. In other words, when I put on tefillin, for example, so I want to make the bracha before I put on the tefillin, and that's why I don't tie the knot or tighten the knot until I make the bracha. And I make my bracha on my talis before I do atifa, before I wrap it and rest it on myself. We always, just like we make the bracha before we eat, we make the Birkas HaMitzvah before we do the mitzvah, not afterwards. If you were doing a shechita, you have to make the bracha on shechita before you shecht, or before you do Kisui Hadam, or before Sfiras HaOmer, or the like. So when it comes to Arba Minim, strictly speaking, once you pick them up, even before you shake them, you're yotzei. Be'idna de'ag be'nafik be'. So what we do is we pick it up in such a way that prevents us from being yotzei. And since to be yotzei, they should be kedach de'lasan, the way that they grow, the direction in which they grow. So we pick them up with the esrog upside down. And therefore, we're not yet yotzei the mitzvah. We make the bracha, and then we turn it over. It's similar to, like, you know, we want also the bracha to be right before we perform. We don't want there to be hafsek. So just like, for example, with your tefillin, you put your tefillin, let's say your tefillin shel yad, you place them in position, you make the bracha, and then you tighten it. Until you tighten it, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. So you've made the bracha before the performance of the mitzvah, but immediately perform. So too, you pick up the Arba Minim, but with the esrog upside down. You could do the lulav upside down also, but that would be a little more tedious. You know, you could have your esrog right side up and your lulav upside down, but it's easier to have your lulav upside down, your lulav right side up and your esrog upside down. Then you make the bracha and then you flip it.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. Thank you.
Of course. All right. Any other questions?
Is there any connection here in that tomorrow in the Hoshana Rabba service, at the end, we beat the Arabos, which are the ones that they represent no Torah and no Meisim Tovim either?
Uh-huh, interesting. I never thought about that. I don't know. Maybe.
We connect them all together for the holiday and then afterwards, done.
Well, no. You know, it's interesting that, you know, there is a little idea. There's a halacha in discussed in Maseches Chagiga of Kol Yisrael Chaverim B'Rel, that even though there are certain restrictions or distances with Amei Haaretz the rest of the year, because Amei Haaretz aren't necessarily Nizhar in things like Tum and Tara, but Beregel, everyone's treated like a chaver. So that supports your idea. And, you know, it reflects in a certain sense the balance, which is that I wouldn't say what, you know, wouldn't put it your way of dumping them, but it is a, there is a balance in the sense that there's a tremendous value of the unity, but at the same time, there's an awareness and an appreciation that sometimes without certain divisions, people could be held back, and there needs to be divisions, or if not divisions per se, but higher standards, which by striving to achieve higher standards, you're going to leave some people behind. If a shul decides that, you know, they want to daven a slower davening to have more kavana, you're supposed to daven very slowly so you could concentrate. So that's going to leave some people behind. Some people say, I'm not going to go to the shul anymore. I want a fast minyan. This is too slow. So there is this balance. We want to be inclusive, but we also want everyone to be ambitious. And by encouraging that ambitiousness in Avodas Hashem, that does sometimes leave people behind. So I think what you're pointing out, Ezra Shimon, is an interesting insight, which is that we have to insist on both of these things. And Regel, and also, like we said, Tainis and Yom Kippur are times where we sacrifice a certain type of purity in order to achieve inclusion. And there are times, other times, where in striving for purity and greatness, we sometimes, again, it's not that we exclude people for the purpose of excluding them, but by striving for these higher standards, like let's say in the case of Tumen Tahara, striving for tahara by a chulin b'tahara, for eating chulin b'tahara, which isn't something that you have to do, but some people are uninterested in that, and that in a sense creates a certain barrier, and both have to be achieved. So you're right. Even though we were talking about, you know, very much the pro inclusion approach, and there's a place for that, but that's not the whole story. So I think that's an interesting insight. Yeah, thank you. All right, Shkayach. So
thank you.